Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. We've got an unusually long ag report today. And I'm you know, sometimes Craig just feels as though there is some really important data coming out. And I don't have to tell you what is going on in the ag sector. And some of the data that he's given out this morning is pretty astounding. When you look at the acres now, it's based on a huge, this is Craig's word, we had a huge USDA report yesterday. And that's what he was telling me. And huge meaning, number one, it was very long. Number two, it was very detailed. And number three, it was very scary. They're my words, not Craig's. So he felt the need to elaborate on the ag report for all of our ranchers and farmers that live and die by this information. So it's good information. So our ag report is a little bit longer than usual. It might be 5 minutes instead of, 4 minutes, so, or 3.5. It's not unusual, and it's not crazy long, but I'm just giving you a heads up on that. But I'm also want to give you a heads up that it's really important. So it'll be posted. When do we post that on our website? Do we know, Ian? Oh, really? Okay. So Ian tells me it's on our website by 10:30. So I guess during that 3-minute break, 10:30, bottom of the hour, you're probably posting it. All right. So, all right. So just hang in there with it. It's good stuff. And Craig's going to give us some important information, as he always does. So there is one of the things that I talked about in the last hour, that there is mounting expectations that Federal Reserve, our central bank, is going to lower the interest rates, going to cut. And the expectation is now starting to grow that there is going to be multiple cuts throughout the year. And I'm not in that camp. I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't think there's going to be multiple cuts. And I am very disappointed if, in fact, the markets are, factoring that in like they're indicating. I hope that that is not happening. I hope that is not happening. Europeans, the Europe main markets are declining. I don't know where they are right now, but earlier this morning they were down, which was more than halfway through their trading day. This morning they were all down. All of the major indices in Europe were down, kind of following Asia along. And some of them, they were down anywhere from 0.25% to 0.5%. So trading right now, traders are somewhat timid with what is going on right now, even though June is seeing about 4% gains in those markets. So we'll see. I mean, right now, this month, the Dow is having its best month. This is the month of June that it's had since January. So I wonder how many of you in April said sell in May, go away, and went away in May. I hope you didn't do that, although you did miss out on some pretty bad downturns, but you sure have missed out on a very good month in June as well. So it again goes to that point why we don't try to time the market. We stay put and we hang in there under all conditions. I got a whole bunch of information that I got unexpectedly last night and this morning. So I am trying to digest it. I got it unexpectedly because I wasn't expecting it until the end of next week. Some of it I got now. I didn't get all that I would like to have, but I got an awful lot. I'm going to digest that if I feel I got to have a little bit more of an intimate conversation with our partners, I'll record something, put it on the partner side. Here comes Craig Haggart with our ag report. Very important ag information on the heels of a very big USDA report. Here's Craig. We'll be right back.
This is Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, heading into the USDA supply and demand report, the expectation was that it could be a game changer. And at first glance, it certainly did not disappoint. Corn was the biggest surprise in the report. The USDA made a move in both the projected planted acres as well as the yield. They dropped the corn yield by 10 bushels per acre to a projected national average yield of 166 bushels per acre. At the same time, they cut planted corn acres from 92.8 million to 89.8 million acres. While the 3 million acre reduction seems significant, you'll remember that on the heels of Monday's planting progress report, we still had 15.8 million acres to plant. My strong suspicion is that when the final numbers are released, the reduction in corn acres will be larger than 3 million. On the demand side of the equation, the USDA increased imports by 15 million bushels, decreased feed by 300 million, and dropped exports by 125 million. The net result was that the carryout fell from projected 2.485 billion bushels to 1.675 billion bushels. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading 3 cents lower. While the corn balance sheet saw a significant change, the soybean balance sheet was left relatively unchanged. Planted acres were left unchanged at 84.6 million. You'll remember that yesterday I mentioned that on the heels of Monday's planting progress report, we still had 33.8 million acres to plant. So the assumption that all of them will go in the ground may be a stretch. The projected national average yield was left unchanged at 49.5 bushels per acre. Exports for the 2018-19 crop year were decreased by 75 million, which had the net result of swelling the projected ending stocks for the 2019-20 crop year from 970 million bushels in last month's report to 1,045 million bushels in yesterday's version of the report. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading down 4 cents. Wheat received some support from the corn market as well as being supported by weather. The forecast for more rain in the southern plains and the eastern corn belt is expected to cause damage to the winter wheat crop. On the flip side, we have continued dryness for the Black Sea region, the European Union, Australia, and parts of the Canadian prairies. The USDA report itself was fairly benign, with acres being left unchanged and yield being adjusted upward by a tenth of a bushel per acre. On the demand side of the equation, the USDA is projecting an increase in the feeding of wheat. The net result is that the 2019-20 projected ending stocks were decreased from 1,141 million bushels last month to 1,072 million bushels this month. In the overnight trade, Chicago is a penny lower, while Kansas City is a half cent lower, and Minneapolis is down two. Cotton received no new news from the report, as all the numbers were left unchanged from last month. At this point, the USDA is still projecting ending stocks for the 2019-20 marketing year to be 6.4 million bales. For the day, July futures were down 34 points to settle at 65.65. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading 25 points higher. The 2020 red meat and poultry production forecast was lowered from last month. Production growth for poultry and livestock is expected to be slower as producers respond to higher feed costs. The beef production forecast was reduced on lower expected steer and heifer slaughter, as incentives to add weight on pasture slows the pace of feedlot placements. August live cattle closed up 52.5 cents for the day, while August feeder cattle were down $1.70. Lean hogs lost ground as well, with August futures down $1.87.5 for the session. Milk production for 2020 was reduced, at least the forecast was reduced from last month, as expected higher feed costs are anticipated to weaker producer margins, which will limit growth in the dairy cow herd and milk per cow next year. For the session, July milk futures were up 12 points at 1683. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading up an additional point. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 73 cents higher to settle at 222.39, while selects were 54 cents lower for the day as they closed out at 208.25. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 30 cents lower as they settled at $83.76. This has been Craig Haggart with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after this.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you're welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. By the way, all the indices in negative territory, not a lot, just barely down. I wouldn't even say negative territory with the exception of the NASDAQ. They're flat, basically. Yes, they are leaning red, but barely. NASDAQ is down about a quarter of 1%, but everything is down, just very, very slight. Not even enough to talk about. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to phones. Let me go to Laura. Laura's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Laura.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Yes. Good morning. Yes. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just
okay.
Yep.
Okay. My question is, we have a son and two daughters,
okay.
And I'm 81 and my husband 84, and our son wants to buy, we have like 7 acres, a house and a garage. He wants to buy all of that and buy the girls out. And if we follow through with that, how do we invest this, or how should we put it in a fund that we could have access to it, yet when we die, if there's any money left, that they could get it without probate?
So the best thing you could do is put it in a account. How many children do you have? Three.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing you could do is put it in an account. You could put that money in all four names, your names and your three children. And so it would, when the Lord calls you guys home, then, it would just be their account. They could use it, divide it up, or do whatever they want with it. But the three of them would still have ownership of the account. So that would be one way you could do it. If you put it in a savings account or CDs or something like that. The other way you could do it is you could put it in an account with them being, having rights to survivorship. I don't know if you'd want to do that. It might be better to put it in their names along with yours. Remember, you're going to have, it's still your money. It's not going to change. You'll be able to use it any way you want to use it. You will be the controlling account holder on that. So that would probably be the best thing to do.
Okay. Now, we saw a lawyer many, many years ago, and he made a new deed to our land, and it put the children on it and told us not to register that deed until that we no longer would have use for the land or died, and it would go to them. Is that a legal move?
I don't think it was the right thing to recommend. I think it was the right thing to do, but I think it should have been registered right away.
Okay.
So I think now I don't know about the state of Arkansas, but I know I talked to somebody about this week from the state of Indiana, and that person said they didn't have to do anything. They went to the register of wills or the register of deeds in your county is where you register it. And they didn't have to do anything but pay, a slight fee, $25 or whatever it was, to have it registered. So oftentimes, though, a county might require, I would say most of the time, County requires at least a 1% fee, 1% based on the recorded value of the property. That would be what the tax assessor uses to assess, you know, what they do to assess the value of the property. And they might charge you a 1% fee to do that. And maybe that is true in Arkansas. And maybe that's one of the reasons why the lawyer told you not to do it, until a later time. But I would be concerned if you did that at a later time, that the state would come back and say that they're not going to honor it for one reason or another, because it was what would be called, like the IRS calls it, deathbed giving, meaning that you did that only to avoid taxes for anybody. So I would have told you to register it right away. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know state law in Arkansas, but it's a great thing to do, but you wouldn't want to do that now because you're getting ready to sell it, I suspect, to your son.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So it wouldn't be any need to do that.
I will check that out with the state and with the county where we registered what the charge would be, because it could be quite a bit of money. I don't know. But we're just trying to save the kids a hassle of probate. And we're not rich people, you know. We don't have that very much money. But if we sold the farm, then we would have.
Right. And another thing you can do is you're going to ask the county. You can go to the probate office or go to the recorder, the register of wills, and you can ask the question of, you know, what is the ceiling on probate? So sometimes they'll say, well, if it's more than X amount of dollars, so say they'll say, well, if it's more than $1 million, then you have to pay a 2% probate tax. If it's less than $1 million, you don't. So you might be under the threshold anyway, so it might not even be an issue.
Okay. I don't know if you do anything like that, and then you need, say, the money, we'd have to do it 5 years out. And of course, at our age, that's problematic. We won't be there, you know, in 5 years. And so,
I wouldn't worry about that at this point, because if you're selling it, you don't want to register the new deed. Just leave it like it is, and you're going to sell that to your son, and he's going to make arrangements with his two sisters of what their share would be.
So he buys it outright, and then we get the money. Then shouldn't it be divided in thirds? Because
It should be. And so in order to do that, then yes, you would have to register it in order for the title company to divide it in thirds.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
When you sell it.
Oh, okay. So at the time that we sell it.
Well, right before you sell it, yes.
Okay. Yeah. But they'll have no ownership of the land.
Correct.
Then.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that advice. And I listen to you faithfully. I'm not a member. We've had bad luck with stock market. We lost money that we had. And
Well,
start over.
I'm sure glad you listen. I appreciate that so much. And I hope this helps you a little bit. I'm glad you called.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Very much. Thank you so
much.
All
right. Thank you, Laura. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
844-707-5533. Let me go to Greg. Greg's calling from Arkansas. Hey, Greg.
Hello, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was going to quiz you about, you're talking about the young lady that threw her baby away, and you're talking about, and I appreciate your pro-life help for all people. But I guess what I was trying to figure out is this: what do you see as the root cause of all this? I mean, here it is, Father's Day weekend coming up, and it looks to me like we pointed out many times that, hey, fathers ought to be fathers and ought to be dads. And then the other thing is this: where does the contraceptive mentality of the U.S. come into this, come into this picture as far as your thoughts are?
Well, listen, I think that we are, depravity has gotten to such a point, and I think that most of it comes from, we've taken God out of schools. We've taken taken God out of our life and our churches even, and we endorse the destroying of God's work in the womb. And so that's, that is the beginning of depravity. I don't have a lot of time, but I'll tell you a quick story. One time I had a friend of mine who was in a church in the war zone of Philadelphia, and he was trying to reach the projects to come to church and have Bible studies and different things. And one day we were visiting, we walked up to the projects. They were doing construction. They were renovating. These were high-rise buildings. And we were standing outside of one of the buildings that was there. And there was we were just standing there leaning on the back of a pickup truck. And all of a sudden we heard this thump, scared us. We both jumped. And it was a dog, a German Shepherd, that somebody had threw out of one of the top floors and landed on the truck. And anyway, we're walking back to the church, and he turned to me and he said, that really bothered you, didn't it? And I said, yeah, it really did. It really did bother me. And we talked a little about it. He said, Dan, you have to understand that there isn't a lack of morality here. This is an amoral place. There are people here, children here, that have grown up and with no morals whatsoever. They don't know, they don't understand. When you can murder a baby as for your birth control on a regular basis, nothing means anything, because in your heart of hearts, you know what you're doing, and nothing means anything, and depravity creeps in. This was a long time ago. This was probably 20 years ago, but that's where we are today. That's exactly where we are today, only it's worse, and that's the problem. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. All the indices down, everything's down. The Dow's down about an eighth of 1%. The Nasdaq's down a half of 1%. And the S&P is down a quarter of 1%. So not any kind of big moves down, but nonetheless, the sentiment is negative there on Wall Street this morning. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Really, the only thing that's going to matter is the end of the day. You know the deal. So we'll watch that. Also on Facebook, I just want to thank Ann and Annie. So Ann says, going to Amazon Smile to choose Financial Issues, and Amazon will donate a half of 1% of the purchases, Financial Issues. The crumbs will add up. And Annie is saying that Amy is saying that she's from Tennessee, just updated my Amazon Smile. Give the Financial Issues. It was easy. Thanks for keeping us updated on Financial Issues and current world issues. Thank you for that, Amy. I sure appreciate it. And there was somebody else yesterday. And let me tell you, we just got our check from Amazon Smile. So they pay at the end of the quarter. So it takes a while to process. They don't send you a check. They only will automatically deposit it in your checking account. We get notice of it. And just got it yesterday. And it was more than doubled. It about four times more than we got last quarter. So that's how much it's increased since we've put it on the website and been asking a little bit about it. I haven't really said anything about it like I should, because you all have been doing it, and then I mention it, and it reminds other people. But it's so easy. It doesn't cost you anything, and it just helps us. And it is a blessing. Look, it's not, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but hey, for all the people, if everybody that we listened did that, oh my word, it would be. And so it really is a neat thing. And it took us, we've had it for a long time, but it's not really grown until recently. So if you use Amazon, go to Amazon Smile. It doesn't change. It takes zero amount of effort or time or change, nothing. You don't change anything. Nothing changes. It just lets Amazon know that you want them to donate to this ministry. So we went, it was hard to register. We got registered. They took us off, said we were too overtly religious, I think it was the word they used. But I said, you know, I'm going to call back and talk to somebody because I think it was the person that was kind of checking it out. And I called back and the person said, no, that's not an issue at all. They put us back on again. And, you know, we got ramped up. And this was probably a year or so, maybe longer than that, year and a half or so ago. So anyway, thank you for that. Sure do appreciate it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to William. William's calling from Oklahoma. Hey, William.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
I listened to you quite a lot on your views.
Thank you.
And your statement about the woman, I forget her name, she's, I have that, but saying that she's comparing the pro-life, pro-life to anti-Semitism.
Yes.
And with all the Muslim freshmen saying all the anti-Semitic statements that they made, and she hasn't said anything against them.
Good point.
I found that so ironic. And she tried to throw everything in the kitchen sink where all the people on, you know, pro-life was. They were Nazis. They were this. They were that. You know, and it seems like the left is always projecting.
Yes. Amen.
What they actually are upon the conservatives.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, I just want, and I, and this is another thing, I was trying to get everybody to vote, you know, call in and vote against the Equal Rights Amendment here, and nobody seems to know what I'm talking about.
You mean in Oklahoma, the one in Oklahoma?
Yes. I'm talking about, you know, what they're trying to pass with gay rights.
Oh, the one that's going on now. Yeah. I got you.
Yes, yeah. And I'm trying to, and I've even put little flyers in church doors.
Yeah.
You know, and at my church, we can talk about it later. I put it on the back wall where we read it. And then I was asked, I don't see why you're getting so, you know, involved in it. And I say, how can we not get involved in that?
Yeah, I don't know how we can. I think it's really insulting to the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King and others were so active in that, that they try to frame this as a civil rights thing. It isn't. And they try to frame that as a civil rights movement because they know that strikes a chord in everybody's heart, you know, in a good way. But it is amazing. And
acquisition, but anyway, I called the governor, Senator Inhofe, Langford, you know, to make a news announcement. We can't compete with the cable, I said, but at least they can call at the Oklahoma State Capitol and get it on at 6 o'clock news.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
But I haven't heard anything back there because it's too running in Oklahoma City and all these. What is that about?
Right.
You know, and the churches should know, but it seems like nobody knows or nobody cares. It's very frustrating. Even the people who claim they do care, they act like, you know, they get to it. So anyway,
yeah,
that's all I had to say. But
William,
I appreciate
and I appreciate you. I thank you for weighing in. Great point you made, you know, and I sure do appreciate that. Good stuff. Thank you so much. Have a great day, William. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.
Yep. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight, man. That's what we got to do. Keep fighting. 844-707-5533. Let me go to August in Oklahoma too. Wow. Yes, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, got you.
Okay. I'm new to the 401k, and they have a traditional and they have a Roth.
Yes.
And our company matches up to 6% of whatever you put in.
Okay.
And what do you prefer as far as percentage? Do I put like 3% into the tradition and 3% into the Roth, or put it all in the Roth? Or
yeah, let me. Do they match in the Roth too?
Yes.
Okay. Because a lot of companies aren't doing that. Huh? I'm not sure why. I mean, I kind of know why, but they're not doing that. So yeah, no, I would want you. How old are you? How old are you?
46.
Yeah, I would want it all to go into the Roth, all 6%. I wouldn't do anything in the traditional, because in the long run, that's going to be far better for you.
Okay, that's what I exactly did. I put it all in the Roth, so good. I made a good decision.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that was the right thing to do. Yep.
All right, that's good. What I needed to know. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Glad you called. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brenda. We have lines open, folks. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Brenda. Brenda's calling us from Texas. Hey, Brenda.
Hi, Dan. I appreciate you taking my call. I've called you several times because we're transferring our money from the 65 into retirement to the income portfolio.
Yes.
And it hasn't been easy.
No,
we're real short on preferreds, and I only have one, and I noticed you have two. Now you have the FP40 listed on your buy list, and that doesn't pay as big of dividend or whatever percentage. But is it still? Should I still look at buying that one?
I would, Brenda, because I want you to be diversified even in preferreds. So yes, it's not paying as much, but I would like you to have some of that.
Okay. And one more question. I still have a healthcare stock, HC38, and it's down just a little bit, like 1.4%. Now, that's not in the income allocation, healthcare, so I need to sell out of that.
Yes.
Should I wait?
No.
Until it? No, I should go ahead and sell it now.
Sell it now, today.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, you answered my question again.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. I'm glad you called.
I'm going to get this sooner or later. Thank you.
You'll get it, and I know you'll appreciate it once you get it all together. And then you won't have to worry anymore. Thank you. All right.
Bye-bye.
God bless. 844-707-5533. We have lines open. You can queue your call up. Joshua is saying, hey, Dan, recent partner. I've been going through the videos on the basics of investing, but I'm still intimidated in where I should start investing my money in stocks. What do you recommend? I would just tell you, Joshua, to not have a sense of urgency. I would pick, I don't know what you have, but I'm just making up numbers here. So let's say you have $1,000 that you're ready to invest. And let's say you're going to continue to invest, you know, put money in on a regular basis. But let's say you have $1,000 that you want to invest and you haven't started at all. I would take that $1,000 and I would pick two sectors. It doesn't matter which two. I would pick two sectors that are on the buy list, and I would put $500 in one stock and $500 in another stock in those two sectors. When you get a little bit more money and you're ready to invest, I would do the same thing, only with different sectors. I would work gradually and slowly to get a position, not the full position. So let's say you're supposed to have 10%, not all 10% in that sector, but just a little bit, and get the sector, start to get the diversification filled out. And then when you get the last sector done, or there are no other sectors, there's nothing on the buy list, start over again and start going through again and do the same thing and add another position and just gradually build that portfolio. We'll be
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. All right, let me go back to phones and go to Vicki. Vicki's calling from Virginia. Hi, Vicki.
Hey, Dan.
How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I was thinking about 2 Kings 15 and 16, where Elisha told his servant, you need to open your eyes, and he saw the hills were filled with angelic beings mm-hmm. that were for them. And I just wanted you to think of that when you're looking at those nasty emails.
I wrote that down. You're welcome. You're welcome, Vicki. Thank you so much, and I will look at it.
Okay, you are so welcome.
Thank you.
My question is a follow-up from the conference call yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Because, dang, you have so many inviting eye candies out there for me in my income portfolio was going to fill. And I thought, well, I don't know, a quarter of that allocation, the new allocation you gave us for cash, I have in CDs. So I have to determine from that when I'm going to purchase, because I am getting I've been selling off my overweighted areas, and now it's like I'm filling the areas that I need to go ahead and complete.
Gotcha.
So what about that quarter that I have of my cash it's a quarter of what you said in the conference call. I don't know if I should count that in the cash or if I should, calculate that.
I think you ought to get that in your income, set up for income.
Yeah, I do have a big CGA, so.
Yes, right. And I'm mm-hmm. thinking because I would still take the income, allow your income, your savings to build up a little bit. And then maybe down the road, we do something else with some of that income as it builds up, or it'll give you a little bit more of a secure place to get back into some CDs at some point in time, if necessary. But I think that's probably the right thing to do, one of the best things you could do right now based on all that's going on. But I would look at the income perspective with growth in income, not just purely income. So I would look at, and I suspect that you already own some of the materials and industrials that are all growth and income. But
foundational material, and I was going to buy another foundation material.
Yeah.
And one CS20, which is...
CS20, yep. Yeah, I know that one. Yep.
Yeah, so I was going to buy those.
Yeah, and I think they would be a good place to be. You're going to get some income. You have opportunity for growth. And I think that would be, I think that's where you ought to go with it.
Okay, and I'm going to keep within the particular percentage that you have on each one of those.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well,
if you can. I know you're over in utilities still, I imagine, right?
Yes.
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 Okay, well, so am I, so join the club.
Yeah, but that income is, that it is sweet.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, but the new ones that you put on there, they have some sweet dividends, so.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
All right.
All right, Vicki.
Have a great day.
I sure appreciate you. God bless. All right.
I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Let me go to James. James calling us from Indiana. Hey, James.
Hey, Dan. I just wanted to ask you for your opinion. My employer, they have Vanguard, which I believe I've heard you say is not biblically responsible. But that's what they have, and they offer matching. So currently I just do what they match, which is the 6%. But this last year we were actually, our church blessed me and my family with a house. So now I'm in a unique position. I don't have a mortgage anymore. And I was wanting to know what your opinions were on exploring investment type properties to supplement for retirement.
I think it's a great idea as long as you're okay being a landlord. You know, obviously, if you're okay with that. I think there's no better way to generate income. I mean, for the money that you would put into a rental property, you're not going to be able to put that same amount of money in to any other thing and generate the same amount of income. And from that perspective, I like that. But I would say that you need to, you know, consider the risk. And here's the risk. The risk is that you don't get a tenant, or the economy turns so bad that you've got to lower your rents, or the economy gets so bad, not only do you have to lower the rents, but people are being laid off, so there are fewer renters out there that could lease the property. And the risk is that you now may have some debt on that property, a small mortgage. Maybe you're positive in your cash flow, but is that cash flow that you're positive in enough to pay the mortgage, insurance, and taxes so that you can carry it while you're waiting to get a tenant? So if you look at it from all of those things, you know, to as using them as checks, that worst case scenario is I don't have a tenant, or worst case scenario is the economy is down and I can't get a tenant. There's no chance of that, but I don't want to lose the property. Can I still carry it? So I don't want it to be a credit risk for you. I don't want it to be a drain on your discretionary income that you have. So just be really careful and prudent about that and think through it. When you get it, better to get a property that is, you know, a smaller, less expensive property that you can get positive cash flow on almost immediately and will have a mortgage small enough that it wouldn't clobber you if you had to carry it.
Right. Well, my thought was, the market was strong. They flip the houses where they buy a house, maybe a foreclosed home or whatever, and then they sell it for the profit right away. My thought was, while the market was strong, maybe do that, and that way I could potentially have a house with either a more profitable house that I could rent out, or have a less profitable house, but maybe not even have the mortgage. Was kind of what my thought was, because of the same thing you were talking about. If the economy were to turn, I don't want to. My church blessed us with this house, and I don't want to waste that blessing.
Yeah.
By maintaining a mortgage that I can't afford. But So that was kind of my thought, was maybe while the market's strong, to kind of do that, take advantage of being able to take a property and then make the money until I could grow some cash flow to maybe buy a house outright, or like I said, get a more profitable house with a larger down payment.
Well, that's the ideal situation, that scenario you just gave. If you're able to do that, you can do that. I mean, I think that's the ideal situation, because then you're accomplishing everything. You're not tying up money too long. Hopefully it's a good, strong market where you live from a real estate perspective. You can flip it or sell that house and then build it up. And that's the best case scenario. That's the best way to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dan.
All right, James. I wish you all the best.
Yes, thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let's see if we can get another. See if we can get Griff in here. Hey, Griff.
Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir.
I apologize up front because it's hard for me to listen to an entire show.
Yeah, no, sure.
I'm in and out of the truck. But I hear you on a routine basis talk about, and callers talk about, ETFs.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't know what that is.
So an ETF is like a mutual fund. Very, very similar. It is a series, you know, of a lot of different stocks, You have a small position in them, and they're all bundled up in this fund called an ETF. ETF stands for exchange traded funds. And so it's very similar to a mutual fund, almost identical. The primary difference is the way they're managed. Sometimes they're not even managed. They're built on maybe tracking a particular sector or something, but the way they're managed and the way they're traded. So a mutual fund is not like a stock. You can't just sell it any moment and get exactly what it's worth for it. An exchange traded fund is like a stock, and you can sell that immediately. And instead of waiting to the end of the day till they settle all the prices and see how much you're going to sell it for. So you have an opportunity to manage it a little bit different. And of course, it is managed. The fund itself is managed a little bit differently. So some think they're better than mutual funds. I think they're the same. I think they're relatively the same. Everything in these areas of ETFs and mutual funds are how they're managed. Do they have good managers managing them? So it's very similar, less fees inside the fund as well than there are in mutual funds. Another reason you might want to think about it. Thank you, Griff. I got to run. Folks, I sure appreciate all of you being with us. If you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless. There's going to be more financial issues. We've got another hour coming up right after this, so hang in there with us. We'll be right back. If you want to queue your call up, now's a good time to do it. We'll be back after this. God bless.
If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.